morning, Lifehouse Church. Yeah, I'm going to have to come up with a different line opener there, because that one, you guys are getting too used to that. Okay, well, for those who don't know, we are in the middle of a series called Shape, and each letter stands for a particular attribute of your life, especially if you're in Christ. S was spiritual gifts. We tackled that one. We're on heart. This is part two of H, which is heart. Now, there's a lot of sentimental, motivational sayings out there encouraging us to follow your heart. Here we have a variety of them that I've easily found as a Google search. You know, encouraging us to follow our heart. Keep calm and follow your heart. I really like that one. Stop thinking so much and follow your heart. I think that's why the world is such a great place. You know, I think just more people should do that. But seriously, if I did that, this is what would this is if I followed my heart, I would be a lazy, self-centered mass murderer by now. You know, that's what I'd be if I followed my heart. You remember, there was a while back, it was somewhat popular, these little black devices. And they had various buttons for like a machine gun sound or a dropping bomb. They were designed to take with you in your car so that when somebody cut you off, you could follow your heart without killing anybody. You know, you know. I had one of those, all right? That's where following your heart would take you. Fact of the matter is, none of us is as kind and compassionate as we like to think we are. We're just not there. The Bible tells us clearly that when sin entered the world, everyone who is then born into the world is born with a sinful nature, a propensity towards sin that is virtually and is actually irresistible. And when we have the opportunity to sin, we will. In fact, we have a good verse here that God tells us in Jeremiah 17:9. He says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Yeah, kind of like frozen, you know, the heart, you know, that's very difficult. But the mind, you can influence the mind, you know. I wish I had that line down. Savannah, if she was here, she could quote it. But you know, we can change our mind, but the heart, that seems to be a far more difficult entity to manipulate. And yet, you know, everybody's saying, hey, guys, follow your heart, as if that's a good thing. Really, we should not follow our heart until you've had a heart operation. Yeah, a heart operation. Not a literal one. This is all figurative. So just in case that was a nervous laughter back there for you, Debbie. Guys, we need to have a heart operation. Bob reminded us, wherever Bob is, he reminded us last week that God is in the business of changing hearts. That's where he does his best work, is changing the human heart. In a prophecy about the coming Messiah and the new covenant that he'll introduce, this is brought to us by the prophet Ezekiel. It says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. It's a heart transfer. It's a powerful thing that only God can do. With man, it's beyond cure, but with God, nothing is impossible with God. Before Jesus came onto the scene, guys, and began changing hearts, things that involve the heart, things that involve some care and some compassion, things like hospitals and orphanages and definitely homeless shelters were scarce to non-existent before Jesus came. An interesting book called Science and Technology in World History. In that book, the authors wrote this. I've got it there on the screen. The declaration of Christianity as accepted religion in the Roman Empire drove an expansion of the provision of care. Following the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, construction of a hospital in every cathedral town was begun. Among the earliest were those built by the physician Saint Samson in Constantinople and by Basil, Bishop of Caesarea, in modern-day Turkey. Thus, inpatient medical care, in the sense of what we today consider a hospital, was an invention driven by Christian mercy and Byzantine innovation. How about that? That's what the heart that God transforms in people's lives compels us to do. Care about other people that we're not directly related to. That we could care less if they live or die. But when Jesus changes your heart, all of a sudden you care a lot to get involved. In fact, the very next verse in Ezekiel, it says, after God takes out that heart of stone, gives them a heart of flesh, it says, then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Without question, the greatest evidence on the planet that God exists and is a personal God is changed lives. Changed lives. It would be hell on earth if it not been for God. But God's been changing lives starting with the first century. I mean, that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem during the first century. And now it's been happening all over the world here now in the 21st century. It's not stopped. One of the huge needs by the Run Global Ministry that Nina and myself and Rex, we're going to be going to Nepal. One of the huge needs there that this ministry has identified is caring for orphans that are wandering in the streets. You see, the Hindu religion really doesn't drive them to care because they're of a lower caste. They're the untouchables. And are obviously the recipients of bad karma. So why get involved in their lives? No, it's the Christians that are still stepping out into difficult situations where nobody else cares, and they're caring for people and making the world a better place. When Christians have on their heart the things that are on God's heart, they sacrifice their lives so that other people might have life. So when we use the word heart in this SHAPE series, what we're getting at is the new heart of flesh that beats for God. Here's a working definition of heart. Our working definition, throw that up. God, it's God-given desires, ambitions, dreams that compel us to make an eternal difference in a particular ministry through the local church. That's what we mean by heart. Not the kind that gets provoked when driving down the highway and somebody's driving so crazy slow and you're in a big hurry. You know, not that kind of heart. This is the kind of heart that we're talking about. So that's found on page 28. If you've got your SHAPE workbook, you can crack it open to page 28. And so when you look at that and you read this question, what is the one thing that you always have energy to do that gets you going and you never want to stop? The answer, playing video games, is not quite the answer we're looking for. You know, that's not quite, you know, working with that definition. Yes, you would need to change that answer there. Yeah, that would be wise. No, because, I mean, that might be something you really passionately enjoy doing and you have a hard time stopping, but that's not quite what we're looking for. No, you would want to go to page 30, and on page 30, you read through the list of issues or causes that provoke a strong emotional reaction in your heart. Those would be the kinds of things that you would always have energy to do. So, getting from being a mass murderer to a missionary for God isn't going to happen overnight. In fact, most passions take years and years of refinement before they can be fully released for God's service. Bob talked about these things last week. He talked about what God uses to change the heart. He talked about one, delighting yourself in God, where He is the object of your joy, the object of your desires, is God Himself. It takes time to develop that. Two, spending time in God's Word, the Bible, this thing, actually reading it and not just having it collect dust. That's a necessity. It takes time. Spending time with God's people, you know? Gotta love some of that. All right, but spending time with God's people, it takes time, an investment of your life. God will use those to transform your heart. You might think, but geez, I really, 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 really love to play video games, and I never want to stop. You've got to start spending some time, just a little sliver, a little bit here, a little bit there, in God's Word, thinking about God, praying to God, and He will change your heart. But you won't even give God a sliver of your time until you put your heart under God's authority. If you're the one calling the shot and your flesh says, well, I'm going to push the button and drop a bomb on that guy, you will. But when God is put as authority over your heart, then all of a sudden you'll have a double take. You'll think twice before reacting to that impulse. All these things that Bob talked about, they take time and they take testing to prove to be genuine in your life. One of the worst things that you can do in your life, if you're not getting along with people in the church, you know, and you're mad at them, the worst thing you can do is to separate yourself from them. I mean, that's what the flesh wants to do. Cut and run, you know. Distance yourself, you know. Hurt them back. But doing so separates yourself from the very process that God is using to shape your life. If you persevere and you obey God's word, especially in the area of conflict resolution, Matthew 18, if you spend a lot of time in that book, you would know, oh, that's Matthew 18, I got to go there. Matthew 18, you apply that, kind of like what Luke was talking about earlier. You do that, you're going to find what God has in store for you on the other side of the conflict. Cut and run, and you'll only stunt your growth in a big way. One of my favorite verses is in Philippians, is Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That phrase, carry it on, it means to execute and accomplish something that was started earlier. Well, what was started earlier? In verse 5, Paul says it was their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So there was a moment, there was a day, there was a time of reckoning in their lives when they partnered or they joined or united their heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What that means is at that moment in time, they made a transfer of their trust from living up to the Mosaic law, the requirements of the law. In other words, from being self-righteous. I'm good enough for God. I'm a good person. I don't have one of those little black boxes and push buttons. I'm just all good. And we like to imagine ourselves as better than we are. No, we transfer our trust from thinking that we're good enough and we transfer it to Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and that death and that sacrifice, that was good enough for God. It was Jesus' blood being shed to pay for our sin. At that moment, God began to do a good work in our lives. Now, some of this work happens instantaneously. Things like the spiritual gifts. We talked about it. Spiritual gift. You got it at the moment of conversion, man. It's in you. You know, we talked about that. Others take time to come to fruition in your life. Like genuine godly love. Later on in Philippians 1, you get to verse 9, to these very same people where the gospel began a good work. He says, hey, guess what? I'm still praying for you guys, and I'm praying that your love would abound more and more. Some things take time to mature. Guys, this should not be a surprise. This should be no surprise that it will take time for God to transform your heart to be like His heart. I mean, you think about King David. He was selected to be king because he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, when he was selected in 1 Samuel 16, it says that it wasn't his size, it wasn't his big muscles or sharp intellect. No, it was his heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. David was selected because of his heart. And yet, it wasn't until 14 years later that he was crowned king. 14 crazy years. The Apostle Paul was given a passion and a mission at the moment of his conversion. God told the disciple Ananias that Paul is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And yet, it was 13 years before Paul went on his first missionary journey. 13 years in the oven before his first missionary journey. It's crazy. Why do we expect God to release us to our passions in just after a few days? I mean, seriously, I've had people come to church, this one and the one when I was in Ames, people come to church and say, hey, dude, I mean, this is like their first time at church. And they inform me, and seriously, this has happened, I'm not exaggerating. They'll say, dude, they don't use the word dude. Sir, I have the gift of teaching, and I am passionate about communicating God's word to people. So I think it would be good for me to speak next week. Seriously. I mean, I was a Christian. I became a Christian in this church. I was involved in the same church, involved in almost every meeting that this church had, involved in every leadership program they had. I was at every Bible class for 16 and a half years before they let me take the podium. And you show up for 16 minutes, I was like, yeah, sounds like a good idea to me. Really? It takes time. It takes time. When your heart is under God's authority, you've got to be patient and let God call the shots. Now, I don't mean to pour water on your flame. I'm sure you're excited about whatever you're passionate about. And so I don't mean to pour water on it. I just mean to call you to exercise great patience and trust that God is in control and knows what He's doing in your heart and your life. But oh, how we want a shortcut. Oh, how we want to take the wheel. You know, we think we're ready. Oh, you know, hold on there, partner. Hang in there. God may have you in the waiting mode with living out your passion, like He did with David or Paul. And I want to encourage you guys, waiting isn't a waste of time. It is not a waste of time. God is the potter. We're the clay. He is turning out your life, shaping it just the way He wants it to be. For your good, and for the glory of God. You know, David, he was being trained on how to trust God. And those were lessons he absolutely needed when he became king. Paul, he was being trained on how to handle the truth. You know, he was being revealed the whole new covenant here and the opposition that this covenant would automatically bring. And those were lessons he absolutely needed to take the gospel to the Gentiles. and to the kings and to Israel. You and me, guys, we are being trained right now. We're being trained. Staying committed to the church and to the work that he is doing in your life is the key to growth. It's the key to growth. Stay in the process, especially when it doesn't make sense. That is the key. When it's like, this is so totally wrong, that's the moment that you need to stay in there. You need to hang in there. You need to persevere. Paul wrote, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." This is putting your passions under God's authority in your life. It's got to happen for you to discover the shape that God has in mind for you. All right. Now, God is never random or reckless in dealing with your life. Now, you might feel like he is because it's absolutely making no sense to you, but he's not reckless and he's not random. The reason it looks that way is because our chief concern is our own chief concern. It's ourselves. It's our own personal well-being. That's our chief concern. We need to come to a humble reckoning that it's not about you and me. My spiritual gift, it's not about me. The passions of my heart, they're not for me. It's for God's glory, for his body. It's for the church. That's what's on God's heart, guys. It's the building up of God's church. That's what's on his heart. You see, the church is God's only ordained vehicle for saving the world from sin. In other words, to fulfill the Great Commission. The church is it. He chose it. He selected it. He designed it. He called it. He made it. He's using it to reach the world. It's heavy on his heart. Living out your passion in the church helps to fulfill God's mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. As we put our hearts and our passions together, we display the heart of God to a world that desperately needs to see him in a really big, bad way. I think you guys know this. Our country right now is on a mission to scrub every single visible sign of Christianity from public attention. And so you got this with the hospitals, you know? Hospitals, the institution that owes its modern design to Christianity is dropping the church name from their title. Like Catholic Healthcare West. For example, they changed their name to Dignity Health. And that's becoming far more frequent. I had a slide. Yes, a little cartoon. Yeah, you don't have to wait for me. Just do it. And so, yeah. So that's just an example of what we are obviously noticing is this what do they call it? They call it the cultural revolution. Culture war. Call it the culture war. To remove Christianity from the public sector. There's this general ambivalence, an image of irrelevance that is being cast on the church and anything that's Christian. And that's not just the problem of the hostile media. It's their fault, you know. If they were like to get on our side, things would look better. No, guys, we're the church. Hello? It's our problem. When we invest our passions into worldly pursuits, we're robbing the church of them. If we're spending all of our time in other spheres, the church just gets the leftovers at best. What if Jesus ran for president? Have you ever thought about this? What if Jesus ran for president and he selected you to be his campaign manager? And after a month, you got him one radio spot on the local KPLV community radio station. What do you think would happen to his campaign? It would die. I mean, it wouldn't last a moment. I mean, would you be happy with that? Would Jesus like, good job. You got me a radio spot on a local community radio station. Seriously, it would not make much difference. And yet here we are, we get all excited thinking we are doing something awesome when we get in the paper a couple of times a year. It's going to take a little bit more than that. There's a powerful verse in Isaiah 26:8. It says, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our heart." You capture that? Prophet Isaiah, your name and renown are the desire of our heart. Is that the desire of your heart? Is that what you think about at night? Is that what you get excited about? Is that what you always have energy to do? Are the things that make God's name glorious? You know, the very next verse in that chapter, Isaiah 26:9, it says, "My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you." There's a guy. There's a guy who had a heart for God. He had on his heart the things that are on God's heart. That's the picture of what a new heart looks like. A heart that's passionate about its Savior, and has on its heart the things that are on God's heart. Guys, and on God's heart is the church. He loves the church. It's his body. He gave up his life for the church. Invest your heart. Invest your passions into making Jesus and the church glorious. Whatever things, if you had done your heart page there, whatever you checked off on page 30 in that shape workbook, you know, those would be the things that God wants you to invest in and through the vehicle of the church. Let's say the very first one was the environment. Hello, who got tapped to be the steward of the planet? Yeah. Adam and Eve, who were like really tight with God. The closer you are to God, the more you care about the things that He's made. The planet is a part of God's creation. And so if that really pumps your vessels, then God wants you to make a difference in the environment through the vehicle of the church. Let's say it's the abortion issue. Yeah, I mean, God's not quiet on that one. He says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Somebody who gets killed before their chance to be born won't have an opportunity to praise God at all. God is the creator of human life. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, even in the womb, fully conscious of our God. So it says in scriptures that God knows us even as we're being crafted in the womb. Guys, if that makes your heart beat faster, make a difference. Save a life or 50 by getting involved in the pro-life movement. Maybe it's the poor and the lonely. Golly, you could help Lifehouse Church in the call that's being placed on us to get involved in the community meal. Got the member of the steering committee been coming to me like regularly saying, "Hey, do you have any people that could come and help us serve the people that come to this community meal?" And so we had thrown out that you could contact Jonathan, who goes to the community meal, and maybe you guys could go as a group, and all you have to do is go to a meal, see what happens, talk to the people there, and they would be so pumped about having you help them with what they do to meet needs in the lives of poor and lonely people. Maybe it's children. Maybe kids are on your heart. Wow, you could help Lifehouse Church have the best Sunday school in the town. You know, if you want to have a way of helping us attract families, how about having a just kicking Sunday school? Something that's really awesome. Something that the kids can't wait to come back to. Something like that. Maybe it's helping the unemployed. Not just get a job, but find dignity again. Find a sense of self-worth. Maybe that's what really trips your trigger, floats your boat, gets you excited. What is it? What is it that bothers you? What is it that burdens you? What is it that motivates you? That's your passion. That's what gets you excited. Invest it. Invest that passion. Channel it into building up the church. Guys, your heart was transformed in you by God for His fame, for His renown, not your own. Invest it. Invest it in those things that give God the glory that He deserves. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You, God, that if it wasn't for You, I would be so self-absorbed. I would be thinking only of my comfort. I would be so consumed by feeding my passions. It would be all about me. And when I died, I would lose everything. Thank You, God, that You had mercy on my soul and on so many souls here, and You took out of us this heart of stone and You put in its place a heart of flesh. God, You gave us Your heart. God, You gave us Your love. A love for You, a love for people, a love for the things that You care about. You care about the whole world, the whole planet, every single soul is on Your heart. And there is something that You have entrusted to each person here. Because not every one person can do it all. You have distributed the responsibilities to the whole church. We all have unique passions. We all have unique desires. And when we come together and we share those together and we express those together, wow, it's like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. God, I pray You'd help us. Help us to humble ourselves before You and let You mature us and define us and refine us that we might express our passions in a God-glorifying way. That is my prayer. Do this in our sight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.